Bhagavatamrita chapter 1, text 7. Govardhano jayati shaila kulad virajo yogo pika virudito haridasa varya Krishnena sharka makabanga kararchitoya saptahamasya karampad matale yapastit govardhano jayati shaila kuladhirajo Yogo pikar udito haridasa varya Krishnena sakramaka banga kararchitoya Saptaham asya karapad matalepya vatsit. Please repeat. Govardhana.
Govardhana.
To Govardhan.
To Govardhan.
Jayati.
Jayati.
All glories.
All glories.
Shaila Kula Adiraja.
Shaila Kula Adiraja.
The Emperor of Aristocratic Mountains.
The Emperor of Aristocratic Mountains.
Ya.
Ya.
Who?
Uru.
Gopikabi.
Gopikabi.
By the gopis.
By the gopis.
Udita.
Udita.
Called.
Called.
Haridasa.
Haridasa.
Of Hari's servants.
Of Hari's servants.
Varya.
Varya.
The best.
The best.
Krishnena.
Krishnena.
By Krishna.
By Krishna.
Shakra.
Shakra.
For Indra.
For Indra.
Makha.
Makha.
Of the sacrifice.
Of the sacrifice.
Bhanga.
Bhanga.
By the disruption.
By the disruption.
Krita Archita.
Krita Archita.
Who was worshipped.
Who was worshipped.
Ya.
Ya.
Who.
Who.
Sapta Aham.
Sapta Aham.
For a week.
For a week.
Asya.
Asya.
His.
His.
Kara Padmatale.
Kara Padmatale.
In the lotus palm.
In the lotus palm.
Api.
Api.
And.
And.
Avatsit.
Avatsit.
Resided.
Resided.
All glories to Govardhan, the Emperor of Lordly Mountains. The Lord's dear gopis called him the best servant of Hari, Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna disrupted the sacrifice for worship of Indra to worship Govardhan instead. And then the hill resided for a week on the Lord's lotus palm. Commentary. Although Sri Govardhan currently appears as a long, low hill, he is actually the greatest of mountains, surpassing in glory the Himalayas, Sumeru, and all other mighty ranges and peaks, exceeding the power of any near mountain. He serves Krishna in Krishna's personal abode in several intimate ways. He pleases Krishna so much that the gopis of Raja have singled him out for praise. Antayam Adira Bala Haridasa Varya Yad Rama Krishna Charanas Parasha Pramoda Manam Tunoti Sahago Ganayostayorya Pani Yasuya Vasakandara Kandamulai. Of all the devotees, this Govardhan Hill is the best. O friends, for Krishna and Balaram, along with their calves, cows, and cowherd friends, this hill supplies all necessities. When Indra felt insulted and tried to destroy Vrajabhumi with a terrible rainstorm, Krishna easily lifted Govardhan with his left hand and held Govardhan aloft for 7 days to protect his devotees. Thus he proved that Govardhan Hill is greater than the King of Heaven. This wonderful pastime is elaborately described in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapters 24 through 27. Lord Krishna knows the hearts of every living entity, and he is especially concerned with his devotees. Indra, the King of Heaven, is a devotee of Krishna, but sometimes he becomes intoxicated with false pride. And no one can serve Krishna if he or she is proud. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says that the beginning of devotional service is humility. Tadvidi Panipatena Pariprashena Sevaya Upadekshanti Te Jnanam Jnaninastatva Darshana. Devotional service begins when one becomes humble and is ready to accept superior guidance. In the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was discussing with Krishna as if they were equals, friends. And therefore Krishna could not really impart the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita to him. But when Arjuna became humble and felt dependent on the mercy of Lord Krishna to guide him, then he surrendered. Shishyasteham Shadivam Tvam Papanam. And when he became humble and surrendered to Krishna, Krishna was able to instruct him in the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita. So Indra became very proud. And Krishna knew that unless Indra became freed from his false prestige, he could not properly engage in devotional service. Indra is the king of heaven. He is the chief of the devas. He is the controller of the rainfall, and he enjoys in his heavenly abode. Now, generally, ordinary people are very eager to get material opulence. Janmaishwarya Shruti Shubir, an aristocratic birth, wealth, knowledge, and aristocratic association and physical beauty. But Queen Kunti, in her beautiful prayers to Lord Krishna, explains that one who is on the path of material advancement, trying to increase the opulences of aristocratic birth or society, wealth, Janmaishwarya Shruti, knowledge, culture, and Shri beauty, cannot feelingly chant the holy name of the Lord. So these items, which appear to be very desirable in the material world, can actually be impediments in the spiritual realm. And that was certainly the case with King Indra. He's born as the king of heaven, and very learned in scripture, very handsome, and was surrounded by beautiful things and people, women, and because he identified with these items and thought that they belonged to him and he had the right to enjoy them, he became fallen. And thus, when Krishna diverted the paraphernalia that had been traditionally used in the worship of King Indra to the worship of Govardhan Hill, Indra became very angry. Now, we know from Srimad Bhagavatam that Govardhan Hill is not an ordinary mountain, but it is the best servant of Sri Hari, Krishna. And we also know from the Govardhan Lila that Govardhan Hill is himself Krishna. But Indra was so blinded by false prestige that he could not recognize Krishna in the form of a cowherd boy to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he could not recognize Govardhan Hill to be Krishna or the best servant of Lord Krishna. So when Krishna stopped the Indra Yajna, Indra became very furious, and he decided that he would take revenge. And so he sent the Samvartaka clouds. And these are not ordinary clouds. These are the clouds used at the time of universal devastation. There's the story of Markandeya Rishi in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, how he was caught up in the flood of universal devastation. So in any case, those clouds were sent by Indra, and they poured rain on Vrindavan, not drops, but pillars of rain, along with tempestuous winds. And Lord Krishna, to give protection to the residents of Vrindavan and to crush the false pride of Indra, lifted Govardhan Hill with his left hand and held it over his head like an umbrella, with the tip of the small finger of his left hand. And he was so expert in crushing the false pride of Indra that nothing Indra could do could disturb him or the residents of Vrindavan or Govardhan Hill. When Krishna was lifting Govardhan Hill, the Samvartaka clouds were using all of their might to try to blow the mountain off of Krishna's finger. But it did not waver. In fact, just to smash Indra's false pride, all of those powerful Samvartaka clouds with all the torrents of rain and hurricane-like winds were not able to make one leaf fall off of any of the trees on Govardhan Hill. In fact, they were not able to move one speck of dust, even one, the fraction of one atom. They were not able to move even one particle of dust. So after 1 week, the Samvartaka clouds were exhausted, and they returned to Indra and explained what had happened. Then Indra himself came along with the Samvartaka clouds but they could not do anything. Then Indra had the realization that he had committed an offense. And he went to Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods, and Brihaspati confirmed, "You've committed a very grievous offense. And if you try to approach Krishna directly, you will not be successful. You must approach him through the medium of some dear devotee to Krishna." So King Indra approached Surabhi, the heavenly cow, who was dear to Krishna. And she took pity on him, and she agreed to accompany him to Lord Krishna. So they came to Vrindavan. Krishna walked right past Indra, as if he didn't exist. But then when he saw Surabhi, he stopped, and Surabhi represented Indra's case, and eventually Lord Krishna accepted Indra's prayers for forgiveness. So the whole Govardhan Leela, you could say, was engineered by Lord Krishna to crush the false pride of Indra, to bring him to a proper position in devotional service. But Indra was very fearful. He thought, "I misunderstood Krishna. I mistook Krishna as an ordinary cowherd." Now, when Krishna comes again, I might make the same mistake. But he was very worried. So Surabhi said that, "Let us go to Navadvipa, because in Kali Yuga Krishna will come again as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and let us go there and perform austerities." So they went to Navadvipa, to the island of Godrum Dweep, to the area now called Surabhi Kunj. And they constantly chanted the holy name of Gauranga. And eventually, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was pleased with their devotional service, and he appeared to them, this beautiful transcendental form, and he blessed them, and he told Indra that you can return to your heavenly abode, and when I descend as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you will have the opportunity to serve me. But Surabhi did not want to return to her heavenly abode. I mean, she has her own planet, not the same heavenly planet as Indra, but her own celestial planet. Because she had become very attached to Navadvipa, so she wanted to remain there. And so she does reside there, under the tree where they had performed their austerities. And that very name, Godrum Dweep, Go refers to cow, and Drum refers to tree. So that refers to Surabhi, who is residing under that tree where she and Indra had initially chanted the holy names of Gauranga. So we should take lessons from this pastime to always remain humble. Yes, these are opulences, Janmai Swarga Shruti Shrivi, but there are other yes, and they can be used in Krishna's service. They're meant to be used in Krishna's service. But as soon as we think that they are us, or they belong to us, and we want to enjoy them, then we become proud. And we are likely to commit offenses. Yes, people who are proud, they are very quick to pass judgment on others, to find fault with others. And they always think that they are completely right and justified in what they think and say. Ramachandra Puri criticized Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, but he was convinced that he was right and that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was wrong. Ramachandra Khan was extremely offensive to Haridas Thakur. And he convinced so many people to be on his side. And he was completely convinced that he was right. And when we become proud and commit offenses, we place ourselves in a very precarious condition. So we should keep in mind this instructive story. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited similar mercy towards Vallabhabhatta. Vallabhabhatta considered himself to be a very learned scholar, and he was proud and envious of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's intimate associates. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arranged to smash his false prestige as well. And Chaitanya Charitamrita compares it exactly to the way Krishna smashed the false pride of Indra. So that is also Krishna's mercy, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. But better that we remain humble, are aware of our actual positions as insignificant living entities who have no capacity to do anything on our own, who have nothing that we can call our own. Whatever capacity we have is coming from Krishna. It is Krishna's. Whatever property we think is ours is Krishna's. And as long as we are conscious that it is all Krishna and Krishna's property, and we accept it in a humble mood of service to Krishna and his devotees, we will be safe. And as soon as we think, I am intelligent, I am learned, I am beautiful, I am capable, then we run a very great risk. So, to remember this pastime, devotees have been enjoined to celebrate Govardhan Puja. Even today, devotees everywhere, especially in Vrindavan, they are celebrating Govardhan Puja with mountains of foodstuffs being offered to Giri Govardhan and Giridhari. And so we are continuing that tradition here. It's a very joyful festival, and yes, I'm glad that you all could join us. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Vasi Dasi.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Is there some way that, I don't know how to put this, but that we can evoke Krishna's wrath upon us to smash us? Because it's so, you know, I just feel I'm so blinded, and I know I'm guilty of all the things you mentioned. And how can we bring upon the wrath so that, you know, we can really realize how insignificant we are and become humble so that we can begin, you know, path of trying to get pure devotional service attainment.
Well, that is a very good question, very sincere question. But I think your underlying question is how you can be, you know, free from false identification and false prestige, so you can really chant the holy names and serve Krishna. And our simple practices that Srila Prabhupada gave us have that potency. If we get up early in the morning and sing the samsara prayers, chant our rounds, and read. I mean, not all in the morning. We do as much as we can in the morning, but continue. And that will have a powerful effect. Especially reading. Srila Prabhupada often recommended that we read his books for 1 hour every day. So when you read the books, you are reminded who you are. That you're not the body, you're not the mind, you're not the intelligence. None of the things that you identify with are you, nor are they yours. And it's really very purifying when you read in the mood in which you asked your question of being purified and saved from this cloud that obscures everything. And it has that effect. It clarifies who you really are and what your actual position is and what your real function is and what where your real happiness lies. Because the whole materialistic society is giving us the opposite message. Everyone you meet in the shop, in your workplace, in the school, wherever you go, everyone is basically caught up in the bodily concept of life. They are all working for these impediments. They're all working for aristocratic association, wealth, knowledge, learning, beauty, you know. And it's very easy to get caught up by that false propaganda. And as His Holiness Radhanath Swami said, Maya Devi has empowered, you know, the material energy and people in the material world, she actually empowered them to bewilder us. They're not like ordinary people, they're empowered to bewilder us. So much false, everything, advertising, and so to be freed from that false propaganda, we need to take shelter of Krishna and the devotees. And the best way is, you know, by chanting the holy name, reading Srila Prabhupada's books, especially Srila Prabhupada's books. Associating with devotees in that mood of you know, purifying our consciousness and getting out of the maya that's keeping us down. If we keep that here, just in case someone goes to the gate. Thank you. going to India or anywhere, retreats, yatras, festivals, and really, you know, engaging oneself wholeheartedly in those activities, they will also help. But you can pray. You can pray. You know, whatever it takes. Oh Lord, do whatever it takes to bring me back to you. Someone's very. Do you want to see it? My video or something.
We have to physically give up this or that, but we can also
give up the sense of false proprietorship. But it does help to simplify. Give up. I mean, that's why there's Parnashram Dharma, different people have different occupational duties and they have different requirements. So like Kshatriyas, they need opulence that to enforce their will on people. But Brahmins should live as simply as possible. Otherwise it's a problem. But Prabhupada said on one morning walk in the beach, basically to get money is difficult, to keep money is difficult, and when you lose it, that's another difficulty. It's like it's difficult in every phase. So, and we will lose it all. You know, if not earlier than at the time of death, we're going to lose it all. If we invested our energy and our consciousness in those things, then when the time of death comes, our consciousness will be in those things. It will be hard to give them up, it will be hard to think of Krishna. So it's better to practice now. Therefore that phrase, die before dying, Bhaktivedanta Swami used it in his last book. Die before dying, in the sense that when we die, we're going to have to shed all these false identifications and false attachments. So we should rather do that before, do that now, so that when death comes, it's not too much too soon. So that's very wise advice. If we do that now, then when death comes, it's just a very easy transition. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard for the soul, but it's now ultimately to convince.
What if you have desires to do service for Krishna, but it necessitates monetary element, so you have to work harder to achieve that, but upon attaining it, you would increase your service and devotional service. But you have to devote that time and work hard to attain that.
It's all a matter of the consciousness. I mean, all of these things can be used in Krishna's service. They're meant to be used in Krishna's service. But there's a danger. And, you know, as long as we remain strongly situated in our spiritual practices, especially in our minimum 16 rounds and our reading of Srila Prabhupada's books, then the other activities can go on. I mean, you can. It's a difficult question, but yes, if you have that gift to make money and then want to use the money to serve Krishna, that's fine. But not at the cost of, you know, our basic practices.